434-1790, the Thursday edition of Dr. Brass Tax. You can reach us at 266-4862 as well. Call on the line. Thank you for holding. If you're still there, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. And you?
I'm great, Mr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I did not miss a sports school read a book.
Yes, he did.
She's on How Can I Get My Hand on That Book?
I can't help you with that part. I can't help you with that part.
But you said that he said that he didn't know what was going on. That's what you said.
He said the Sir Paul Scoon said he did not write this letter that he supposedly wrote to invite the people to come to help him rescue Grenada. The first time he saw it was when he was rescued, that he was locked down, he was in, he was isolated, he was cut off, so he really don't know how he would have been able to get this. The book is called Survival for Service, he denied writing the letter, basically. He said the first time he saw the letter was when they gave him to sign, when they rescued him from Government House. So that when people talk about, you know, the Governor General took control and he invited people to come in, you say he has no idea what they're talking about. Yeah, he was a Governor General with a knighthood to boot. So I can't doubt him.
They said it happened.
I don't know, sir. I wasn't in Haiti, but you see, that other one. Look, so international politics will always have those games played. Okay? And those who support will say one thing, and those who don't support will say something else. That's how it is.
So we're in a funny world.
I don't consider it funny having some bumps and bruises from it. I don't think it's funny at all. What I find unfortunate, though, is that we continue to perpetuate lies in some cases. We continue to promote a side because we're on that side, and we don't give the rest of the population, especially the young people coming along, an opportunity to hear all sides and let them decide which side they want to sit on.
Of course, you're right.
Right? I may be wrong. The way you're I see it may be tainted by the people I know that perished. There may be others who may have their own impression because they were locked up and they were liberated when the Americans came. But for a country to say on the 25th or whenever of October, we'll have Thanksgiving Day to thank the Americans for rescuing us, and then the man who supposedly invited the rescue say, "I ain't invite nobody." Basically, that's what he said. So,
but it's there. The big fish was going to eat small fish.
It's called survival.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, there's a calypso on in Trinidad and them Lord Funny. You know that calypso on there?
Yes, sir. I know his work.
Oh, yeah. And he got his song, Certain Things Remind You of Certain
Things. Of Certain Things, correct.
Right, good. Well, this was going on here, no, remind me of certain things what happened before. Mm-hmm. After slavery finished, the dark people get nothing after slavery. Now, what's happening here now, and they're dealing with the hotel workers, whatever's going on, whatever everything is finished, the hotel workers, after the unemployment benefits run out, they're going to lose the carers, they're going to lose the house, they're going to lose anything that they had as debt, because they're not more for these people. And the government seems to want to give them the severance that they could continue paying the bills. And when the severance around, the bills can still be funded. So I don't know what happens. Certain things remind me of certain things that people can't have nothing all the time.
No, sir, let me, and again, it's one of the things near and dear to my heart, and it's this. Again, it goes back to how we progress, and I put in the term progress in inverted commas, okay? We got to the stage of feeling that we needed to move out of the zone we came up in and move to a higher level. I still hear today, well, a couple of days ago, when the students were there on Sunday, when I was producing the program, I think it was one of the students from Ghana saying, we were depending on getting good grades so we could go to university, so we could lift our families out of poverty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that may be scripted. They may be told that this is why they're going to university, so they're carrying that weight on their shoulder.
Yeah.
If you say to your child, you don't have to lift me out of anything. I have brought you to this stage so that you can stand on your own two feet and you can move ahead from where you are now. And when you get there, all I want is the pride in saying my child has done the best that they could. They don't have an extra weight on their shoulder to feel that they're taking me out of anything. Because as I tried to point out, there are some elderly people in Barbados who live on a pension, but because they are community-based and connected, and because they have what I call people, they're not feeling the kind of pressure that the hotel worker you and I are talking about, who has a mortgage for a $350,000 house, a loan for a $50,000 or $70,000 car. That's essential to them because they work in shift, and sometimes they finish at midnight and can't get a bus, and they're working on the West Coast, but they're living out on the in St. Philip or in St. Andrew or in St. George, and they can't get a bus directly there after midnight. So they have to have a car. Or sometimes they got to go to work for 5 o'clock in the morning, or they're on radio, and they got to open the station at 5 o'clock, so they got to be here at 4:15. So they either hire a taxi or they get a car. So to them, it's essential. So I'm not knocking them for having it or wanting it.
No,
because of that, they need a constant source of income. And if they don't have it, they don't have a fallback. They don't have people. They don't have somebody who could ease them out, except, as you pointed out, the NIS unemployment. And that is their net. And if that net bursts, they literally have nobody.
Nothing.
You understand? So it is how we've developed, and whether or not we've built a network, or whether we never thought that we would find ourselves in the situation that we're in today. And what is hurting a lot of people is that there is no safety net. There is no place they know they could turn. There's no one to support them because the people that they know in the same position that they're in.
Same position. Yeah.
So, you know, it's one can't help the other. So they sit and wring their hands. It is unfortunate, sir. And to me, the greater misfortune is that the government finds itself in a position where it, as an institution, can't demand anything from these hotels either. They could suggest, they could work with, they could, moral suasion is the term that the central bank uses for its bank associates. But they can't put their foot down and say, look, here is the situation. For 20 years, you have done so. We have allowed you tax concessions on A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're asking you to give back for a period of X, Y, Z because the support is needed now and we can't provide it all. You see, when you're in a position to negotiate powerfully, you could say that.
Yeah.
When you're not, you gotta say, well, you know, see if you could ease me here, please. And perhaps, maybe, you know, one hand can't clap. And
you're gonna beg, man.
You have to, because you're at their mercy.
Yeah.
You are. But it's unfortunate. And the travel industry is in real straits right now. Yeah, from airplanes to cruise ships to...
That can't stop back in a hurry.
Well, they're trying, but people ain't confident enough yet. And those who travel in still catching the virus. So, and the countries they're coming from still not controlling it properly. So there's a lot of if and but and missing.
All right, there you go. I feel that the government should extend the unemployment benefits to a year, and I want to be able to help these people.
But do they have the capacity to do it?
The government enough that too, so.
Well, that's what I mean. Do they have the capacity to do it?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, there you go.
Go on, again. Because, Mr. Johnson, that's a little thing here. When them say Barbados got a $5 billion economy, don't our debt to have enough $5 billion?
Is it taken off of it? No, they're talking about what the economy generates.
We're talking about that in there too.
No,
is that $5 billion?
I don't think it is.
Is that going to be $5 billion?
Where? As what?
My world philosophy, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that if a country like Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
that got over 70 million people economy, is a $2 billion economy, why Barbados economy should be a $5 billion economy?
So that's why I tell you, it's because of what it generates. Hold on.
Because there's more Afghanistan?
I don't know. What does Afghanistan have that we don't have?
The guys got all the thing for the cell phones and all that stuff.
Right, and who controls it?
The Americans.
And who pays for it? And what are they paying for it? Listen to why I'm pitching that argument, right?
Yeah, which is why
I'm saying I don't know if the debt is included. Let me say again, I don't know if the debt is included. But let me say this to you. If I have gold, diamonds, oil, bauxite, water that could generate hydroelectricity, but I do not have a hydroelectric plant, I do not have oil rigs or own them, I can't drill for diamonds, what do I have? I have resources in the ground. Now, unless somebody wants it, what are you going to do with it? Venezuela, that's being crushed and people can't get bread. Own gold, sir. G-O-L-D bars. Gold.
Gold.
Gold bars.
And they can't get that from England right now?
Well, that's my point. So what will you say about the Venezuelan economy? That's 6 billion, 10 billion? They have gold. Let me repeat the standard on which currency was based. Gold ingots, bars.
Yeah, they have them.
Exactly. And?
They're in trouble still.
Exactly. So that's why I say it may be based on something other than the debt.
Mr. Johnson, one other time before you go, you feel that because the American countries, the world trade, and all these things that have got the world in trouble, you could all talk.
The international agencies have accepted that the Chinese currency is a trading currency.
Chinese? Look,
they accept it as being a trading currency because they realize that the greenback, as they call it, is not what it used to be. It's not the standard, and it is subject to fluctuations and, let me say, guesswork. And I'll tell you why I say guesswork. The company that prints money, De La Rue Publishers, back in 2001, said that the United States was going to introduce color to their notes. And they were going to introduce color to their notes because the Fed had determined that there was so much money in circulation, including in the hands of drug dealers who had it stored in warehouses and in boxes, that they could not control how much money was in circulation. So they were introduced color to their notes. And on a designated date, somewhere in the future, they were going to say all the currency that is not colored is no longer valid, and cut their debt and their printing of money by, I can't remember what was the figure they projected. The reason why I'm telling you this is because if you've noticed, the United States has printed money and supported their budget in the trillions. You would also notice that if you paid attention, whenever they have seized money from drug dealers stored in warehouses, they burnt it. Because it make no difference to them. Right? So,
yes, sir.
Right. Because they're planning to weed it out anyhow. But we sit and we store and we pay attention to other things, you know, who arrived by helicopter and whatever, and don't pay attention to those statements and see where we are heading and why we're heading there.
All right, Andrew Johnson, thank you.
All right, my friend. Always good hearing you. Brassax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey, sir, what's happening?
I don't know. I see the clock running wrong. I know if I can be able to get in.
No, well, you could talk till it run out, and then you'll talk again.
Yeah. All right. Now, Dennis.
Because
I went into St. George. Well, let me say, I'm a St. George person. Only thing I do is born in St. George. But my mother and father come out in Newbury. My grandfather come out. My mother grandfather come out of Golden Ridge. And my mother father. My father come out in Newbury. There's a whole mix-up thing in St. George. Not the bottom part of Charro Bridge. I got one or two, but we are a big group from St. from Newbury up to Golden Ridge. Now, I went this morning to look up a few, and I left with a sad note. You know why? Glenn and I actually raised up in Newbury together. I never, ever went against him politically, because I always say that the bigger folks, they come on a platform and talk big about the other person. Hey, here, show all that here, don't drink it together. So he always said, as long as Glenn running, I'm not going to let him down. What is worrying, as a relative told me today, why don't you talk with Glenn? Glenn and you is friends. Why don't you talk with him? She told me to look in Sunday paper. I just buy papers, but since I don't see Albert Branford in the paper recently, don't really waste the time with the newspaper. But she told me, you do not realize Glenn is looking frail. I said, man, since this election start, I invent to be a near Glenn Clark. Because Glenn, I think he's too simple a person. Dennis, you don't know Glenn. Glenn don't offend nobody, you know. Man, if you tell Glenn, the problem with Glenn is that you never could say no. He would always promise it, even if it can't happen.
Sir, I want to advise you, right, as I've advised callers before. In this season of a by-election in St. George North, unless the station wants to find itself being censored, censured, advised by people as to what we're doing, this discussion of individuals associated with the St. George North constituency can be seen as campaigning. And I am quite willing to sit and look at the blackboard all day long because nobody wants to talk to me, because I don't want to engage in partisan political yaddering, and that's fine with me. The station will take me off the air, and the general public will have the excitement and the movilang, as we call it in Trinidad, or the brango, as we used to call it in Grenada. So let me spread my Caribbean tentacles and have the kind of conversation they want, and I could sit in the quiet comfort where John is and produce the program. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We continue after the latest from Starcom Network News, if anybody calls. If not, well, I could switch to my other hat and play music. That too sometimes don't please the public either. But hey, at least I enjoy doing that one. 434-1790-266-4862 is our WhatsApp number. And you can send a message there. Unfortunately, can't hear voice notes, so written messages, fine. And we go until 2. You can also send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. To the gentleman who called me about the book Survival for Service, My Experience as Governor General of Grenada, someone sent me a message saying the book is available on Amazon, and they sent a link. So if you wanted to find out where the book is, it's available on Amazon, and it's called Survival for Service, My Experience as Governor General of Grenada. That's Sir Paul Schoon, the late Sir Paul Schoon. The number of messages on water and burst mains and service since that comment that I made earlier on. Morning, Dennis, there's a burst pipe at Cambridge and St. Joseph. Two side by side, they fixed one, left the other. The one that's left is in front of a lady's house. It's going to weaken her foundation. She's called several times. It's still leaking and going under the house. That's one. There's been a water main broken for over 6 months at Church Village, St. Philip, Back Village. 53, Elizabeth Park, over a month. Water running from main. Keep calling, was given a job number. Each time I call to report, I have to give that number. Called Friday, and the person on the other end said, she's passed it on every time. No response, nothing has been done. There's a burst main 100 yards from the corner of Kendall Hill, the road going to Silver Hill on the right side. When you get to the church, going east to Silver Hill on the right hand, and that's been running for 2 months now. And I could go on. Now, if poor John had to accumulate all those and send it on, they would have quite a batch to deal with. Brastax, good afternoon.
Yeah, Dennis.
Yay, good. You're back. Thank you. John told me you disappeared and then you came back.
You hear me talking, mm-hmm. I don't come, and I would never try to put this
good. In trouble. It's not putting the station in trouble. It's just trying to stop people from saying we're campaigning on air.
I was on this call.
That's why I pulled you up.
Right. Now, what I went on to say mm-hmm. is that the lady is very concerned. She asked me some very historical questions. People believe that the average man in this country don't be conscious of what's happening in this country. And that's a misgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the lady asked me, have you ever heard a candidate that resigned from parties went back doing house to house? And she asked me to tell you the difference, St. Joseph. Grant Lee Adam Dayak between years 71 and 72, around the same age as Glenn Noe. And she said that Grant Lee Adam never went back to canvassing house to house. You understand what I'm saying? And she called other politicians' names that never went back doing house to house. And she found it that he has to be working so hard. That's all I was telling you.
All right.
That's all he was telling you.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Not too bad, at least I'm getting in the first over. I don't think he would have completed six balls in that over. After lunch.
Now, the first over after lunch.
First over. So, Dennis, first I want to call and commend one of my former work colleagues for a contribution that he made yesterday pertaining to the maritime situation and where Barbados were given the
award
for the humanitarian situation in which we had over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not hear his prior submission pertaining to the help, but after he continued to explain himself, I thought it was really some worthy suggestions in which he had put forward.
Mm-hmm.
My thing in there is, though, that I hope that the minister would get people prepared, because he made he just abbreviated the MI Maritime something or the other.
Mm-hmm. The initials. Maritime Institute something, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's some thing that you can do. It takes a week in order to do it, and there are people qualified within the Caribbean who should be able to assist and pass these people when they sit this particular or do this particular exam.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hope that the minister, and using his good judgment, after listening or hearing about that recommendation that was made by the chap,
mm-hmm.
that they would try and get as many people as possible interested, seeing that we would have had a lot of persons who out of the hotel circuit and those who, you know, would have been around the shipping situation. Now, most of the guys who would have been sailors, I use the term sailors at that time in the shipping industry, ABs and that thing, that would be older guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you need to have a new set of young persons, both young men and young ladies, mm-hmm. in order to fulfill some of these dreams on board of the ship. So therefore, I think that they should start to work so that when the ships get running again or about to run,
when maritime activity resumes?
Right. That we would, would have a cadre of people who could be able to, when they ask, seeing that the humanitarian situation was handed out to them, despite we were given the trophy, that, you know, they would be able to help us, you know, in that way, in giving some of our young people some work.
There are two things about this that I suppose worries me, and it's this. Is there that level of interest, and two, knowledge of what is required in a lot of these cases? And I'll tell you why I say that. One of the things that surprised me when I worked in the industry was one, the number of people who called and asked if you had a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask them, is there anything in particular that you would like, that you're interested in or you would like to do, they usually say, well, a maid or a waiter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they had no idea of what was available in the hotel industry, what maids do, or what waiters do. They think it's simply making up a room. But they did not know that there were standards associated with making up rooms.
That's a room.
And that you would have a certain number to do that you had to know. And same thing with a waiter, right? So if there was a guy I know who was rather good in the kitchen, actually, who went to work on a cruise ship and lasted all of about 2 weeks because he could not stand being confined to the bottom of the ship when he was off. So I asked him, you expect to go up and lie on the top deck and sit down around the pool? He tell me, buy lock up down there all the time. I say, but, you know, the pay, the job, this is what you know, you left for this. Now I can't handle
that. You left to
work. He left and he came back. Now, there are people who don't understand this. So therefore, if you tell them, go to the Samuel Jackman, learn about this because there are opportunities on board. Unless they either A, have an interest, or they understand where it could take them or what they can do, they may not want to do it. So we will end up bringing in Filipinos to pass through to go on the ship and people from the other islands to pass through to go on the ships. And the guys who've worked, the cruise liners in particular, who I know build homes off of cash. They didn't borrow from nobody, from tips and bits and pieces received from, you know, thankful guests. Including people who send them material to help them build their house.
I have a nephew who technically have been on a particular line for over 20 odd years. He's still a young chap, but he's now off because of what is going on.
And he could retire and hold for a little bit.
No, but he comes home for vacation and then go back because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
He is off, so just waiting for the thing
to call back,
subside, mm-hmm. and to go back. Mm-hmm. But as you quite rightly said just now, that there are situations where persons are not aware of what they want to do and these type of things. Mm-hmm. But so you have to, the people around in the maritime situation, they need to get cracking and try to set up a program.
Correct.
And get some persons interested.
Correct.
In this, because at least the possibility exists that there are could be jobs available for them.
And good paying jobs too. Good paying jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people remember what, when others were refusing
refusing to give them shelter. We did.
Give them shelter. Now, Barbados was the one who, decided, no, we are not going to allow people to drift about the water and they'll know which side they are going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the statement made by the lad was a very good one.
I got his point. I thought he always stands up for the maritime persons.
He used to deal directly with them as a signalman. You know, he used to deal directly with the vessels coming in and leaving and that type of thing.
Still, his heart is still there. Wherever his body is, I know.
Right. You see, that's the interest that one who, if you work in an environment, I heard you said you're doing 20-something years now.
26, October
but your heart and soul will be in broadcasting because of the time that you have been there. Right,
that's why
you're
sure that
you love. You're sure you have a love for what you're doing.
Yeah,
now I've got to dabble in something here a bit. So if I'm stepping out of line, you can.
I will pull you back in. I will do
pull
that.
You back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now the situation that we're having going on now with the CXC situation. Now you listen to it, and everything seemed to be up in the air. Now I was wondering if in the initial stages when the persons from the CXC would have written to the Ministry of Education, because I'm assuming that this would have come to the Ministry of Education, which then most likely would pass on to the unions in all the Caribbean countries, that there were going to be changes within the exam. Now, I'm wondering if after the unions of the particular territory, after looking at what was supposed to happen due to the COVID, that they would have seen some, I'm only using this term now, flaws or things within the situation, have a discussion technically with their ministry, with the Ministry of Education,
mm-hmm.
have a sit down and talk with them and point out to them where they would have, you know, feel dissatisfied about what they want to do and what you think could happen if such is done. And then the regional education ministries would have come together and then put forward a proposal to the persons explaining the difficulties that each particular one in unison has agreed with, mm-hmm. and if there could not be one changes to the situation or put it off until next year. I'm wondering if such was done, if we would be having this type of wrangling, mm-hmm. because you get the union, as Ms. Redmond here said, she wrote back to the people when she got this and that. But I'm thinking that the Ministry of Education technically and not the unions that the persons would be really communicating with from CXT. I don't know if I'm wrong about that or I'm right.
So I think we have a couple problems in the mix.
Mm.
Couple years back, not sure whether it's 1 or 2 years back, I haven't been keeping close track, but I do recall a couple of years back, there arose a disagreement between the Caribbean Examination Councils and the teachers in Barbados about the correcting of SBAs. Right. And I think the genesis of some of the wrangling goes back to that time. One. Mm-hmm. Two, along comes COVID, and an institution makes a decision. A Ministry of Education or Ministries of Educations in territories that use the Caribbean Examinations Councils took other decisions. Now, whether they acted in unison, whether we acted in the usual manner, which is every man his own ship,
mm-hmm.
and the regional institution acted as I am God Almighty, answerable only to myself, thou cometh at my knees, at my convenience, and to my rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another problem. You factor into all this parents who have expectations of their children, children who have expectations of themselves based on what their parents want, sometimes based on what they want, sometimes a combination of both. And what you have is a volatile cocktail just waiting on a match. And about here, we got plenty matches kicking about in the hands of idiots. Okay, so somebody strike a match. It didn't matter where, who. They may not have even had a child in the case or connected in any way to CXC or anything else. Then, to compound it all and throw gasoline on it, we had this, you know, I am the voice of God, you listen to me or else response from the Caribbean Examinations Council. So, I am blown away. When people who are supposed to be trained, educated, who are supposed to be guiding the ship, react in this manner. I, lowly deckhand, has only swabbed the deck. I feel like pelting the mop and the bucket at somebody because I'm ignorant. I ain't that educated. I ain't got that much sense. I'm ignorant. So I just pelt things when I get upset. And if I see a fire and I got a bucket of water, I'm going to pelt it on it with the bucket too, just in case. I cannot understand why we get on the radio and we sprout big language. Oh, I have done all sorts of examinations and I've done polls about children and youth, and we must teach them conflict resolution. They must not resort to bullying and fighting. They must sit and joy hands and sing kumbaya. And then when we're faced with a problem, what do? Conflict resolution go out the window, and I talk for my high horse, and you mount your high horse, and whether you wear white or black or green or some other color, you come charging into the fight. What do you expect the children to do?
Yeah, no, you have a fireball.
What do you expect the children to do at that point?
Fireball.
Because none of them have the authority to grab you by the scruff of your neck and say, whoa, 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 conflict resolution. Discuss. Quietly sit. Engage. Because we ain't teach them to do that. Don't interrupt the big people while they're talking. Follow we please. So I was a rebel from the time I was out in short pants, and I can die one. Because I cannot get that figured out, and I don't care who you are. It doesn't make sense. And I can tell you so even if it upsets you. I can tell you to your face. It don't make sense. I can't get it out.
It's a serious situation where
it is.
It is concerned.
So because nobody is going to win this. Nobody. So to tell me Britain did this, or Canada did this, or the United States did that, does not fix the problem.
Accreditation. You can lose your accreditation with this.
I don't get it. I do not get it. These are big, intelligent people with honors behind their name. So you can't come to me and tell me that our children are running riot. They are fighting each other. They're bullying, cyberbullying. And then you getting on like that in public? Nah. So, look, it is an unfortunate situation.
Situation has happened.
It has exposed our lack of learning. It may have showed that we have education, but it has exposed our lack of learning. And to me, it needs to be corrected. And it needs to be corrected by those who carry the weight and the responsibility of the office to not bring the office into disrepute. Because if, here's the no-win situation. If the CXC budges, they've lost their credibility. So they're going to be fighting for turf.
If they don't budge.
If they don't budge, the children are going to suffer. Their parents are going to have a nervous breakdown and pass it on to their children. And we're going to have wide-scale mental disruption by a section of the population that we can ill afford to have them having a mental disruption at this point, in addition to all else that they're fighting. So there is nobody who can walk away from this a winner unless we get off the high horse, we take off the boots and spurs, and we act as adults.
And sit down together. And
act as adults.
And act in a calm manner.
Correct. Say there are children in the room, send them to play in the room, close the door, and don't shout either. Now, that's why I can't sit down, because I can shout. Because if I try to tell you quietly, I ain't listening, and you raising your voice, I can raise mine.
Right,
and we end up shouting, and nothing will get resolved.
Nothing will get resolved.
Nothing.
Anyhow, Dennis, thanks ever so much. I had to, as you said, you didn't want...
The field was clear. The players were sitting down having drinks under the tree.
I didn't want you to go and play music today.
Why not?
Your friends would be listening in. So
listen, tell your friends hello for me. Let me say this to you, though. I have to give you this part in short. I picked the right date, right? I said the 11th when we spoke last, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, now, if I could only get the lottery numbers, I could retire by this weekend.
All right. Have a good day,
you too, sir. Take care. I'm laughing, but I'm not joking. I worried about a lot of things that I shouldn't be worried about. Somebody sent me a message saying, I had a friend who went on a ship. He left the training when he heard how fast the ship can sink. He left within the 2 weeks of training. Fewer ships have gone down than airplanes, eh? I just telling you.